invite you this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 is where we'll be in a few moments. And last Sunday morning, we began looking at this thought of a principle that is rooted in wisdom, and that is the need for preparation. In order to be ready to serve the Lord, in order to grow as Christians, in order to grow as a church, we looked at the truth that we must also be prepared to grow as a Christian, be prepared to grow as a church. And last Sunday morning, we looked at the call to preparation. We looked at how it is important, how it is imperative to be prepared in our daily labor. We looked at how we need to be prepared spiritually. We looked at how we need to make this preparation fit for ourselves by taking a personal responsibility, by building our house. And then we applied these things spiritually. We said that to be prepared spiritually, we must seek God first, but we also must build on the right foundation. And this morning, we want to continue with that spiritual application of this particular verse and see just how we can be prepared to seek God first, just how we can be prepared to build on the right foundation, how we can be prepared to grow as a Christian and be prepared to grow as a church. And so you're there, Proverbs chapter 24. And again, notice if you would, verse number 27. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 27. The Bible says, "Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." For a few moments this morning, again, I'd like to preach us on this thought: prepare your fields. Prepare your fields. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, and we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house to worship you, to sing your praises, to then open your word, Lord, to see a truth that might help us not only be prepared, but to grow and be the Christian and the church you'd have us to be. Lord, this morning we pray that we would seek out this wisdom that we have in your word to always be spiritually fit, to be spiritually prepared. Lord, always be readying to grow, not only as a church, but also personally as a Christian. And Lord, as we again leave summer behind us and prepare now to go into the fall and to the winter and to the holidays, Lord, help us to shake off that season of relaxation. Help us to shake off that season of what can become apathy. And Lord, help us to be ready to be prepared to serve you in any way that you would have us to serve you. Lord, this next few months as we seek to finish this year, may we not only grow spiritually, but Lord, may you bring visitors our way. May we see souls saved and lives changed. And Lord, use us as your vessel. Use us as your conduit to see this church grow, to see things progress for your honor and your glory. Lord, now this morning, we pray you'd speak to hearts through your word. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to say those things which need to be said. Help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. And Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, verse number 27 there, the Bible says, "Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house." Again, this verse has the idea in context. It's dealing with marrying. It's dealing with how to raise a family, and how there are certain preparations that need to be made before one begins a family. And while that's the context, the application, spiritually speaking, is that when it comes to the church and when it comes to our Christian life, there are also certain preparations that need to be made, spiritually speaking, if we're going to grow and be that which God would have us to be. I wrote down two thoughts I want to give you this morning regarding this verse. Thought number one is that every work that we seek to do, preparations must be made. And if as a church, if as Christians, we're going to build a Christian life, so to speak, if we're going to build a church, then we must be ready to do so. But then thought number two, and it comes from the first part of that verse, verse 27, where it says, prepare thy work without. Prepare thy work without. And that got me to thinking that most of our work for God is going to be done outside the four walls of this church. Most of the work we do for God, and this is where we get into the trap, because we think all of the work of God is done within the church, and then once church is over, well, then the work of God ceases, and then the work of God is over. But the truth is, most of the work for God is going to be done outside the walls of this church, and yet it will always be our church where we come to prepare ourselves for the work, to go both for ourselves and our missionary works around the world. And so think of it this way. The church is the preparation field. This is where you come to prepare to do the work that God has you to do outside of the church. And so you say, how do we prepare this morning? How do we prepare to grow as a Christian? How do we prepare to grow as a church? Well, number one this morning, we see that we must first prepare your study. We must first prepare your study. The Bible tells us there in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, this morning, we need to make sure that as Christians and as a church, we are correctly handling the word of God, both in its analysis of what it's saying, but also in its presentation. You know, in contrast to some of the insane interpretations that you have there of false teachers, we need to make sure that we are studying the word of God. And this study of the word of God, it goes more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. It goes more than just Sunday night or Wednesday night, or now even as we start the men's Bible study and the ladies' Bible study. You have to make sure you are studying your Bible Monday through Friday, Monday through Sunday. You need to make sure that you are reading your Bible on a day-by-day basis. We just finished our series on Wednesday nights on how to study the Bible. Get yourself a good Bible dictionary. Get yourself a good study Bible. Get yourself a Bible concordance. Get yourself some of these tools and resources to help you study the Bible so that you can rightly divide the word of truth, so you can know exactly what it is that the Bible is saying. Because if you're ever going to grow, and if our church is ever going to grow, we need to make much of the Bible. We need to make much of the word of God. Everything rises and falls on the Bible. Everything begins and ends with the Bible. There's a lot of churches that they hold to creeds and they hold to confessions. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with creeds or confessions as long as they match up with the Bible. And the problem is, a lot of those creeds and confessions, they don't match up with the Bible. And if they don't match up with the Bible, then we don't partake of them. We don't accept them. in our statement of faith, the statement of faith tells us that the Bible is our final authority for all faith and practice. So not only what we believe, but what we do and how we do it comes from the Bible, comes from the Word of God. And the only way we're going to know what the Bible says is if we study the Bible, is if we study the Word of God. 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That phrase, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, it has the idea of set apart as Lord. Set Christ apart as Lord of your life. And one of the ways you do that is through preparing your study of the Word of God, studying what the Scriptures say. So the very first thing we have to do is prepare your study. Secondly, this morning, we have to prepare your supplication. We have to prepare your supplication. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. The Bible says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That word supplication just simply means prayer. It just simply means prayer. And we rejoice in the Lord, in the gospel, and in other people when they are spiritually growing. Philippians 3:1, the Bible tells us this, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." And then 3 John verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." That phrase, pray without ceasing, it has the idea, you ever cough, and it seems like no matter what you did, you just couldn't seem to get rid of that cough. And I mean, it was like a hacking cough. And every few seconds, it felt like you were going to cough up a lung. I mean, that's how bad you would be coughing. Well, that's what this verse in Thessalonians means. Pray without ceasing. It has the idea of almost as a hacking cough. And that's how Paul prayed. He prayed without ceasing. You would never catch Paul not praying. And if we're going to grow as Christians, if we're going to grow as a church, not only do we need to make much of the Bible, not only do we need to make much of the Scriptures and the Word of God, but we need to make much of prayer. And listen, there is nothing this morning that prayer cannot help with. There is nothing this morning that prayer cannot solve. If you need answers to things in life, we need to be a people of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, the Bible tells us, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And here's a good idea when it comes to praying. In everything, in every circumstance, no matter where it is you find yourself, be a Christian, be a church that makes much of prayer. Make it much of prayer. And so we see, prepare your study, prepare your supplication. But then thirdly, We see we need to prepare your separation. We need to prepare your separation. The Bible tells us there, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And here in the Romans, Paul is, he's making an appeal to the church at Rome. He's making an appeal that they have a dedication of their life to the Lord Jesus Christ by the mercies of God. And those are described in the preceding chapters of Romans. And he says, present your bodies. In other words, you have to make a decisive decision that you are going to present yourselves as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so oftentimes we get saved, and praise the Lord if we get saved, because that's a wonderful thing, is to get saved, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But then what happens is we look at our salvation as, well, okay, now we have a liberty, and yes, we have a liberty, but now we look at it also as, well, now we have a license to do anything we want in the Christian life. And that's not the case at all. And listen, so oftentimes we talk about, well, you know, the Bible, when we break it down, is not necessarily a book of thou shalt do this and thou shalt not. It's not a book of rules. That's not what the Bible is. But don't ever forget that the Bible still has rules. The Bible still has standards. The Bible still has convictions. And as Christians this morning, we still need to have some standards in our life. We still need to have some convictions in our life that no matter how the world goes, no matter how the culture goes, there are just some things that we look at and say, okay, you know what? That is a line that I am not going to cross. Why? Because we are a separated people. We are a sanctified people. We are a set apart people. The Lord Jesus Christ, He went to the cross for you and for me. He shed His blood on the cross for you and for me. And there are just some things as a Christian we ought not to take part in, that we just ought not to have any participation in. And now listen, again, that's going to be between you and the Lord. You know, if for example, if we have somebody that comes in and we know their background, let's say they come in, and it may sound like a silly example, but let's say they were convicted of, robbing banks, okay? They were convicted of robbing banks. Well, you know what? We're going to have a standard that says, okay, it's probably not a good thing to let them count the offering, right? Because you don't want to put that temptation in front of them. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. There are some things that as Christians, you know that you're tempted by, that you just ought not to put yourself in that position, that you know that would cause you to fall back into those things that you know would not bring honor and glory to God. And so, yes, while the Bible this morning is not a Bible necessarily of rules, the Bible is a book of separation. The Bible is a book of standards. It is a Bible and a book of convictions. Now, for example, and I'll give you this. Now, your conviction might not necessarily be somebody else's conviction. Now, on Wednesday nights, is usually our Bible study, and I'm usually running around all day. And so on Wednesday nights, I don't necessarily always wear a shirt and tie on Wednesday nights. But on Sundays, I, for the most part, usually try and wear a shirt and tie. Now listen, nowhere in the Bible does it say the preacher, the pastor, thou shalt wear a shirt and tie when you come to church. Nowhere does it say that I have to wear a shirt and tie in the Bible. But it is my conviction that coming before God and coming before the Lord as a representative of His, that I ought to dress and look my best that I could possibly look. And so that is my conviction, because I believe that there is no higher calling than the preaching of the Word of God. And so that's my conviction. Now that might not be your conviction, and because I can't point to a verse in Scripture that says, thou shalt wear a shirt and tie, I don't make a big deal about wearing a shirt and tie, because the Bible doesn't make a big deal about wearing a shirt and tie. And so that's what a conviction is. But then you say, then what is a standard? Well, a standard is something that the Bible clearly points out to us that says, okay, you should not do this. Thou shalt not commit adultery, for example. When we get married, we are to be faithful to that man or that woman for a lifetime. That is a standard in the Word of God that we ought not to break. And there are other standards in the Word of God, but there are differences between convictions and standards. But we had to make a decision, a decisive decision. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so what that verse is saying is that God, he wants you to be used as an instrument of righteousness unto God, not as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. And Romans 12:1 again, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That living sacrifice, that's in contrast to those dead animal sacrifices, a spiritual service, intelligent, rational, deliberate. But you know sometimes what the problem with a living sacrifice is? You ever try and kill something that you're trying, or you try to kill something that you're, you know, maybe you're going to cook it up or whatever? Well, what happens? It almost never goes quietly, does it? It wiggles around. It wants to move. It wants to get off the chopping block. You know what? The same is true with us sometimes. God wants us to be this living sacrifice. He wants us to be this vessel unto honor, this vessel of righteousness for Him. But sometimes as a living sacrifice, we wiggle around. We move around. Why? Because the Bible tells us that there's pleasure in sin. And there is pleasure in sin. It feels good sometimes to do wrong. But the verse goes on, while there's pleasures in sin for a season, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And listen, you partake of sin long enough, and eventually it will kill you. It will kill you spiritually. It will kill relationships. It will kill marriages. It will kill your relationship with the children of God and the people of God, with the church of God. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so we have to make a decision. Okay, I'm not going to partake of that sin anymore. But the verse goes on. It says, be not conformed to this world. In other words, do not live according to the style. Do not live according to the manner of this present age. Listen, it's very easy to look at the way the world's going and say, you know what? I'm just going to fall in line and I'm going to go the way the world's going. But the Bible says, be transformed. Be transformed. In other words, there ought to be a continual process of change from the inside out. There ought to be a mind change, a heart change. The center for this change, prove, ascertain, dedication is what gives us the ability to discern God's will. 2 Corinthians 6:17. The Bible says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." As Christians this morning, we're to be separate. And that's a personal separation. It involves not being unequally yoked, not loving the world through using it, not having fellowship with sinning brethren. And on the positive side, exhibiting that Christ-likeness. Be separate from this world. Whether it's personal or practical, doctrinally, whatever it is, be separate from the things of this world. And then fourthly this morning, we see we need to prepare your service. We need to prepare your service. Joshua 24:15. The Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But here it is. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You say, how do I grow as a Christian? How do we grow as a church? We just make the decision. No matter what happens, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, salvation was just the beginning. Salvation was not the ending. The Lord did not save us to just come and fill a church pew to sit, soak, and sour. The Lord saved us so that we might serve Him. The Lord saved us so that we might serve others. Why? Because there's still a lost and dying world out there that they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the only way they're going to know Christ as their Savior is if there is a bunch of Christians and if there is a church that is busy serving God. If there is a church and a people that they are busy and they're serious about the things of God and the service of God. But then not only that, prepare your service. But then fifthly, prepare your stewardship. Prepare your stewardship. You see, and this is very important. Because the ministry of the church is people, not profit. The ministry of the church is people, not profit. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing that is given to us by the Lord is given just that way. It's given to us by God, both the gift and the act of giving. All these good things come from above. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You say, how do we grow as a Christian? And how do we grow as a church? By stewarding that which the Lord gave us. And listen, this morning, that includes not only our treasure. And listen, so oftentimes we get focused on the treasure and we get focused on the money, and that is an aspect of it. But there's three other things that the Lord expects us to be good stewards of. He expects us to be good stewards of our talents. If the Lord has given you a talent, He hasn't given you that talent to hold it back. He's given you that talent to use for the Lord. He's giving you that talent to use for the church and for the things of God and for the service of God. Not only has he given you talents, but he's giving you the stewardship of time. He's giving you, he wants you to use your time for the Lord. Now, we're going to get into these here in a little bit, further and give you some scriptures, but not only time and talents, but he's giving you a testimony. He wants you to use what God has done for you to be a witness and a blessing for and to others. Because listen, sometimes people look at them their lives and say, oh, there's no way God could use me. There's no way God could save me. There's no way I could be used of God. And then you come along and you say, well, look at what he did for me. He saved me. He uses me. He makes much of me. And listen, if he, you know, Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. Listen, if God could use the chiefest of sinners, how couldn't he use you? If he could use the chiefest of sinners, how couldn't he use me? And so that person you come in contact with that says, how could God use them? Hey, just say, he uses me. He used the worst sinner in Paul. And if he could use them, he could use you. And so he's given us time. He's given us talents. He's given us testimonies. And yes, he's given us treasure. He's given us money. He's given us resources to use for his honor and glory. Now, he's laid out a principle for us in his word. And that is the principle of 10%. He has said the first 10% of all thine increase is to be given back to the Lord, is to be given back to him. And if we are faithful to that principle, then he will be faithful to us. He will be faithful to his church. You say, but, in Oklahoma, we had about, at one time, we built it up to about 30 people, 35 people, high day in the 60s and so on and so forth. But for the most part, we ran about 15 to 20 people. You say, how on earth could 15 to 20 people sustain a church? A pastor's salary, a paying the bills, missionaries and all the rest. Here's how. We were faithful to the 10% principle. And not once did we ever have to have a fundraiser. Not once did we ever have to have a yard sale. Not once did we ever have to have any of these things. Why? Because God lays out the principle for how he expects his churches to be supported in his word. And his word says his people support his work and not the world supporting the church's work. And so if we're faithful, he's faithful to us. And so we have not only our time and our talents and our testimony, but yes, also our treasure. And so we give to the Lord for the Lord's work, for the Lord's purpose. And the whole reason we give, and listen, we don't give so that we can build a big, fat, healthy bank account. No, we give to the work of the Lord so that the work of the Lord can go on, so that missionaries can be supported, so that folks that need help can be helped, and that the gospel can go forth and reach a lost and dying world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that. We need to remember, you say, what's the ministry of the church? People. People are the ministry, not prophets. Not just, building the bank account and never doing anything with it. We need to make sure that we are doing the work of God. And yes, the work of God costs money, but we need to prepare our stewardship. But then, number six and finally this morning, we need to prepare your soul winning. We need to prepare your soul winning. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And then Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We need to be busy while we can, winning souls for Christ, sharing Christ with others, sharing Christ with a lost and dying world. Listen, we all have people in our life that they need to know Christ as their Savior. They need to know that their sins are forgiven. They need to know that heaven's their home. And how are they going to know? How are they going to hear if they don't have anybody to tell them? We need to be busy sharing our faith with others, sharing our faith with a lost and dying world. And so, yes, this morning, God wants to build his church. God wants to build his people. The question for you this morning is this: are you doing your part to prepare your fields for the coming showers of blessing? Ephesians 5:16, the Bible tells us this: redeeming the time because the days are evil. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. We don't have long. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? And Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to be prepared for what the Lord wants to do in our midst. And we do that again through four areas. Number one, we do it through time. Now, when dealing with treasure, we say, okay, the Lord has laid out the 10% principle. 10% of everything we have belongs to the Lord. Well, I take that not only applying it to our money and our finances, but I believe we could apply that to our time as well. And I sat down and I broke it down one time. And so if we're to give 10% of our time to the Lord, and let's say on average we have 6 hours of church per week. We have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Or no, that's 4 hours, give or take. Then we add a Bible study here, Bible study there, ladies' meeting, men's meeting, whatever. Okay, 6 hours of church. Of the weekly time that we have, that is less or just about five. No, that's less than 5%. 5% of our time would be 8.4 hours. If we gave the full 10%, to the Lord of our time, we would have to give 16 point hours a week to the Lord, to his church. And that's just the time that we are to give. But not only that, he's given us talents. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He's given us testimony. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Matthew 5:14-16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And then the final thing that we have to grow as a church and grow as a Christian is our treasure. Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And so, yes, this morning I believe that God wants to build his church. If you're his child this morning, God wants to build you. But the only way that he's going to build you is if you're prepared to be built. Are you doing your part to prepare your fields for those coming showers of blessing that God wants to rain down upon us? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The invitation this morning is simple and twofold. We've been talking about preparation this morning. The first way you need to be prepared is to know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that your sins are forgiven, that heaven's your home. You're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure that I'm prepared to stand before Jesus someday. But you're here this morning, you say, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? Won't have anybody embarrass you. Won't have anybody call you out, but we'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can be prepared. Anyone like that at all this morning? Then for you, Christian, what are some areas in your life that you need to be prepared better in this morning? Your study, your supplication, your sanctification, your stewardship, your soul winning, your time, your talent, your testimony, your treasure. The Lord can help you be prepared. Maybe you need to come use an altar. Say, Lord, help me to be prepared. Help my fields to be prepared to grow as a church and as a Christian. Help me to be a Christian that seeks to grow the remainder of this year and in the year to come. Mandy begins to play a song of invitation. Why don't you slip out of your pew and say, Lord, help me be prepared. You come this morning, the altar is open.